There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile, live on location today, and a special show coming up today, because not only are we live at Ed's Seafood Shed on the Causeway, the Scuttlebutt Radio Network follows us at 1 today, so we got a lot going on today, and it's very nice for the folks at Ed's to have us out here. Nick DiBerio with Ed's. Thanks for inviting us.
Well, I appreciate you being here.
And let's talk about a couple things. First of all, we mentioned it earlier this week, been talking about what's coming up on Saturday, because people who didn't get a chance to get out, do something for Officer Tudor last week, didn't get out over the weekend. I said there's another opportunity coming up, and this is coming up on Saturday, and we get to have pancakes, too.
Absolutely. Tons of them.
Yeah. So this is a pancake breakfast. I mean, because when Tom Claxton told me, he said, yeah, Ed's is doing a pancake breakfast, I was like, they have stuff that cooks pancakes, too? He said, yeah, Sean, they do.
actually, Tom was the guy who really put it in our mind of doing something. You know, he's always helping out and doing things for the community, and he's the guy who really said, hey, man, let's do something. And, you know, Pete, Panini Pete, a.k.a. Pete Blome,
yes.
he does a ton of work for the community. The mess lords feeding troops all over the
right.
world, and owns the PR Foundation where he donates to special need kids. And, you know, this specific deal here is we have my father's former police officer, and wow. Pete's father, grandfather, was a police officer, and it really hit home with us. And Tom brought it up, and we said, man, let's do it. And we've had a huge, huge amount of calls, and I hope we have enough pancakes.
Well, I'm excited about this, too, because this is something that people are out and about on Saturday. And you'll have it, what, 8:30 to 11?
8:30 to 11.
Right. So if we're going to kids, I'm just thinking, you know, a lot of us going to kids' activities or whatever on a Saturday, we can stop through,
get it to go.
Yeah.
You know, get it to go. We got pancakes, sausage, coffee, tea.
And so it's
Tom
how much?
Will be here.
We won't mention that. But so it's how much?
It'll be $10, and we're going to be selling bracelets.
Oh, good. And so these funds are going to the Sean Tudor Memorial Fund.
Yes, it's actually going to go right to the family. Also, they're going to be doing a little drawing on some shirts that were designed for Sean. You'll come in, you'll put your name on the ticket, put it in a bowl, and you'll get a commemorative shirt as well.
All right,
in the drawing.
This is, I mean, this for most of us will go, well, of course, I know where Ed's Seafood Shed is on the Causeway, but I mean, we're in that yellow building here. This is where people come on Saturday.
This is the new Ed's. Ed and Barbara retired, and they were very gracious to sell Pete, I, and a gentleman named Robert this building, and we've had great fun and enjoy the team that we inherited. Jamie, Shante, and the team, they do an awesome job making people feel at home and being friends. You know, our commitment to what we do is we serve. That is our mission statement, and then we put real food in our food, and we've never met a stranger. We're just trying to write the story.
Right. And, you know, obviously, the story is well-received out there, too, because I know this is a busy place. But I always think about busy lunch, busy dinner. But now on Saturday, y'all are going to be busy breakfast.
Breakfast is going to be crazy. I'll be here at 4 a.m. churning the batter and making cakes and getting ready, and we're going to try to do some great things for Mr. Tudor. He was a person that the community is getting behind. It's awesome to see how the outpouring of people, of how they're getting behind what happened in this situation. And
it's so sad that we, you know, it's twice now here in 11 months we've been doing this, but it is, like you, I agree, whether it's the people I saw in the funeral procession standing alongside the road there honoring the people that have come out to the different events to help out, the people I know that will be here on Saturday doing the pancake breakfast, helping this family. It's good to see our... I'm always proud of our community, but it's nice to see it with your eyes and reinforce it.
Yeah, our community comes together in tragedy, and it's a that's why we're America, and it's the greatest country in the world.
That is for sure. All right, once again, y'all, 8:30 to 11 on Saturday, pancake breakfast, $10, 100% of the proceeds going to the Sean Tudor Memorial Fund, and you said bracelets?
Bracelets. They'll be selling some bracelets, and we'll do a little raffle for the T-shirts. We got things
going on.
Tom's going to be walking around with the air guitar, too, I think. Aren't you?
Yeah, he's...
Banjo.
Air banjo. Hey, I really appreciate what y'all are doing on Saturday, and thank you for what you're doing in the community, you and Pete and everybody, day in and day out.
It is our pleasure. We want to do great things on Saturday for the family.
All right, talk to me about this right before we head to the news break here. Say somebody wants to come. They're going to come Saturday for the breakfast. They want to come today for lunch or tomorrow for lunch. What are you going to recommend? Somebody, I just sat down here.
I'm going to get a Southern Bowl. Southern Bowls are going to be some new things on our menu today. You're going to have catfish with greens and grits.
Oh, yes.
Little crawfish cream sauce, little piece of fried cornbread.
Oh, man.
Our greens are off the chain. They're different. They're a little bit different than most folks. They're half turnips, half collards. And at the end, we put a little Creole mustard as we're cooking them down with some ham hock and some bacon.
You had me at bacon.
Okay.
You had me at greens. And so, and the bowls you talked about, what happens with the, explain the bowls.
So, in a bowl, what you're doing now is you're layering food instead of kind of compartmentalizing it on a plate, and you have these flavors that are layered on top of each other, so you're kind of eating all the way through. And, you know, that's the big thing going on now is bowls.
But y'all are making it Southern.
We're Southern. Gulf Coast seafood with soul.
Okay, so that's going to be in the bowl.
Yeah, vegetables meet seafood. That's what Ed's is.
You got my attention.
And Miss Mel back there, she's been back there for 16 years. She can cook some vegetables.
All right. I'm going to be testing out those vegetables with the greens here shortly. And folks can come on out and grab lunch with us today. And a quick reminder, once again, it is Saturday, 8:30 to 11, the pancake breakfast. Nick, thank you for your
time. Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
Hey, coming up on today's show, lots to do, and we'll get into. And in just a second, we're going to be talking about a story. I mentioned it this morning. If you look at the new LandNap at LandNapMobile.com, you'll see Dale Leisch's story about the investigation that has taken place into the Public Works Department and the management of the Public Works Department. Actually, I'll let Dale tell us about it before we run to the break. Is that pretty much what we're talking about here? Who asked for that audit? Maybe audit's not the right word.
The city council, through the Zogby Act, has the power to investigate any department in the city.
Do you feel we're learning new things about the Zogby Act every day and who gets to do what?
I feel like the burden is off of me to tell people about what the Zogby Act has in it, because I think we are learning more every day. But they have the authority to investigate any department in the city, and they called for this investigation. They hired a special counsel. We get a special counsel, our own special counsel here in Mobile to do stuff. So, yeah, it was an interesting report.
And you've read through it, so when we come back, we'll talk more about this as a because there. I mean, I remember back, was it 2 months ago or more, there was folks from Public Works that showed up at a city council meeting.
Yes.
And I remember asking back then, were they actually, you know, some had called in sick, were these the people that had called in sick or not? And then obviously people lost their jobs over this, and some people were given a chance to stay. And so this is all wrapped up with that.
It's all part of that. And honestly, the Public Works Department, we're talking about the employees that pick up the trash.
Right.
They've been coming for a year or so.
All right.
At various times.
We're going to find out more about this special investigation, what happened here, and find out if it affects whether our trash is going to get picked up as well in the city of Mobile. It's our guest, Dale Leisch from LandNap is here. We are live at Ed's on the Causeway. Come see me. I'll hook you up with some FM Talk 106.5 goodies and grab some lunch with us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, live from Ed's Seafood Shed today. And we're hanging out here for, well, for the all 2 hours, this show till 1, and then a very special appearance from the Scuttlebutt Radio Network. Tom and Cal and the crew will be on at 1 today. But I'm going to hang out with them and check out what's going on with their show and enjoy the great seafood here at Ed's. Come see us on the causeway. We'll be here till at least 2. And a reminder here, if you're looking to save money, right, like I always am, enjoy a great shave and not have to remember stuff. Let me tell you about Harry's. So I've been shaving with Harry's for years, and I've told you about the price. You know, the fiscal conservative in me loves the price. The price, half what you're paying right now for replaceable blade shaving. Well, how about this? They actually did the math for me. Thank you, Harry's. They said, be smarter with your finances in 2019. Harry's can save you about $100 a year if you're a regular shaver over what you're paying right now. That's real money. And also, the convenience of having those blades show up at your house. You don't have to remember to go get them. You know, it's 9:30 on a Sunday night, you got a meeting on Monday. Don't worry, the blades are there. You don't have to go out and get them. And also, they have now made the best deal ever to get. If you've been on the fence about Harry's, time to get off the darn fence. Get down here with the rest of us and check out harrys.com. They want you to start the new year off right. New customers, that doesn't mean me, I don't get to do it, but new customers can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and their travel cover for just $3. Plus shipping. That's it. Oh, no, no. He said, okay, we'll do free shipping too. $3 plus free shipping. You get the free shipping when you go to harrys.com and use my code MOBILE. It's a limited time only deal. Harry's has a special offer for y'all. $5 off the trial set. That means $3 when you use the code MOBILE at harrys.com. Get the razor, get the weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3. Free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. Join the millions of us who've already switched and go to harrys.com today. Use code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer. All right, and we continue our conversation here, and I'd love for you to come on out and be part of it and hang out with us, grab some lunch at Ed's Seafood Shed. And it's not every day that I get Dale Leash even on the phone, let alone sitting and having lunch with me. So thanks for doing this. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me, and I'm here for the food.
Yeah, that's so, pretty much that's anybody who shows up here, I know they're here for the food. I'm here for the food. I'm not even here. No, it was with a great fascination. I was reading your story. Over people can check it out, lanyapmobile.com. Pick up a copy of Lanyap, and we'll talk about all the different ways to find copies of Lanyap.
Absolutely.
And get them. But this story is one where I learned a couple new things. And you're telling us last time that, first of all, before we even get to the meat of it, the city council, through Zogby Act, which for those of you all, we talk about it a bunch, but this is what sets up our system of municipal government.
Our specific system of government, yes.
So the city council can call for a special investigator.
They can, a special counsel.
A special counsel in anything? Yeah. Or does it have to meet? Is it just like, can they say, we want to look at the price of parking downtown? Can they get a...
I don't think they'd use it for that, but right. but situations like this where there's a problem in the departments
or a complaint from a department
or enough complaints. Like there were so many complaints coming out of Public Works that they felt compelled to call for an investigation. I mean, it was like every other meeting for 6 months to a year, there were various complaints.
And we've heard some of these. I've watched some of these when they come to the council meeting. I've heard Mayor Stimson and the administration respond to these, too.
Absolutely.
We had the sick out and people not showing up and the issues for people not getting their trash picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And now you read through this report. Tell me, first of all, about who does the report. Who is the special counsel here? And then tell me about the report and what they found.
The special counsel is Patrick Sims. He's a local attorney, specializes in labor law.
Okay.
According to his website.
Okay.
What he did to investigate was he interviewed two supervisors, I believe, that are mentioned in the report.
Right.
And he interviewed some 35 current and former employees of the trash department, part of Public Works, and really just, you know, wanted to find out if there was any legitimacy to the complaints that they'd been hearing about mistreatment or just this sort of complaints about just the management not being where it needs to be,
right?
As far as how you treat employees and things, and the report details that some of the complaints seem to be at least valid.
Right, in this report they had Supervisor 1 and Supervisor 2.
Yeah, those are just positions.
Okay.
The Supervisor 2 in question, I mean, it's his name's in a public document, so I can mention it here. It's Jeffrey Dees.
Okay.
And And before we get started, he, in the report, says that none of this is accurate. He goes out and says that to the investigator, that none of these complaints are valid. But a lot of the problems apparently stem from things that he was doing, the way he treated some employees.
So Jeffrey Deese mentioned here as supervisor number two.
Right.
Was he in? How long has he been in place as a supervisor there with Public Works?
He was promoted to supervisor in 2015. I think he started with the department in 2009.
Okay, so he's been there some period of time.
And in fairness to him, he points out in the, he says in the report that he didn't ever want to be a supervisor,
right.
But then and it's also documented in the report that the department kind of fell in disarray around the time he was promoted.
Okay.
And that kind of pushed him into more of a management role. He saw people taking advantage of the system and whatnot, and wanted to see if it make changes. But apparently, since he started as supervisor, there have been complaints about just that it's just not a happy place to work. He makes it miserable, things like that. And interim director John Peavy is not spared in this report either.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because, I mean, it seems like last time I heard complaints from Public Works at City Council, Peavy's name came up more than these. What I heard.
Well, Peavy's relatively new to the position. He came in after Bill Harkins left. And a lot of the issues that people had with John Peavy was the employees had with John Peavy was this implementation of this incentive pay program,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the 5% raises that the city council gave. This goes really deep, but the city council passed in a budget amendment and had it approved a 5% raise for Public Works employees.
Right.
That's what some of the employees were asking for before all of this mistreatment allegations came up. They originally came to complain to the city council that they needed a raise.
So okay, wait. The timeline was the mistreatment allegations came when, and when did the?
It may have been around the same time, but roughly.
So when they didn't, yeah. When Public Works didn't get the what the city council wanted, the 5%. Increase, and they said,
"Well, no,
you'll get it, but you have to."
Well, yeah, the complaints go
proceed. They proceed, or
yeah, they go way before.
Okay, all right, good.
Yeah,
all right,
sorry,
just trying
the,
to
the mistreatment complaints come way before the.
I think that's an important part of the discussion.
Yeah, yeah. So, through these complaints, some of the employees were like, "Yeah, we need a raise." You know, and by the way, we're being mistreated, and all this stuff. And so, the council passed the budget with the raise in it. The mayor has, instead of following the budget per se, he has tried to move on with this incentive program, and John Peavy's kind of been the face of that to the employees. So I think that's some of the issues there.
An incentive program. I mean, I'm thinking about this in the private sector. This is pretty common, right? Your incentive is on performance, your personal performance, your department's performance.
Yeah.
You're more efficient, or you brought more revenue into the company, or
right.
something like that. You incentivize people to do more.
Right. And I think that is the administration's point in all of this, is that, you know, they've said from the get-go that if we implement this, that you can have a more than a 5% raise if you meet all the criteria. And some of the criteria is attendance. There's an attendance bonus. There is
showing up for work.
Yeah. There's a safety bonus.
Don't get
there's
hurt.
Okay. There's a bonus for getting your CDL, which they said would hopefully encourage more
sure.
workers to get their CDL, and so they have more backup truck drivers and things like that.
Okay.
That would help get your trash picked up. On time.
So you add a new skill,
right?
Or not a new skill, but you have the qualification.
Right.
You have the sheepskin on the wall that says you have a commercial driver's license.
Yeah,
you are worth more to the.
Right.
So then you get money.
That's the idea.
For that. Okay.
That's the idea. Now the employees, on the other hand, you got to take it from their perspective.
Well, they said they feel like it's a trick here. Or
yeah,
something?
They feel like it's a trick, and I'll get to that. But also from their perspective, and that's not in the report, but I've heard this that. They look, and the city council brought this up in the arguments for the raise, is that, you know, we heard about fire department getting step raises,
right.
Police department getting step raises recently, last couple of years, and you get to the public works department, and all of a sudden it's an incentive program.
Mm-hmm.
That's what had some of them, you know, that's what had some of their ire up as
okay.
far as the way it's being managed. And now you get the report that says it's, they feel like it's a trick. They don't feel like they'll ever be able to reach all of the goals in there specifically the attendance one, because they argue that family stuff comes up.
Well, does it list out what the attendance? I mean, I'd like to see, you know, what the actual attendance policy. I think a lot of us would just compare and contrast. Like, is it? I mean, because there could be some scenario that is so draconian that you could never. But is it? Right. You know, I mean, it seems like attendance policies. You have something that's running like public works, and you don't want to have a ton of duplication going on. Then it would be important to have people. But I having not seen what that is, it leaves me at least questioning. You said 35 different people were interviewed by
former current employees.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there seems to be some unanimity in the fact that they're saying that it was not a good working environment.
Yeah, they say it was not a good working environment. The word that Patrick Sims used to describe what many of the employees had to say about Mr. Dees was that he acted like a tyrant. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that are listed in the report is that he treated them like children and all this other sort of things. And here's an interesting anecdote that Mr. Sims brought up, and that is also in the report. And it was several employees complained about getting written up for throwing a retirement party for a coworker.
So that was one of the ones that you can see the things I have highlighted in your story here.
Yeah.
That one really stood out. It said Sims told counselor supervisors have been known to write up employees in the department for frivolous issues.
Right.
In one instance, Sims said employees were written up for throwing a retirement party for a departing colleague. Yes. Is there another side to that story, or is it because that's?
I don't know, because I've only seen the report, and I only have what the report says at this time. And I'm waiting. As we go along, I'm sure the city will shed more light on this.
All right. Well, we'll dig more into this, because not only has he written the story, he's read the report. He's Del Leash with Lane App, and he's with us right here, Ed Seafood Shed. Come by, have some lunch. Got some FM Talk 106.5 Huggers too. I'll hook you up with. And remember, Saturday 8:30 to 11, it is pancake breakfast right here. 100% of the proceeds going to the officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live at Ed's Seafood Shed on the Causeway. Special show today. So Midday Mobile going till 1, and with scheduling with Auburn basketball tonight. Scuttlebutt Radio Network does their show today at 1. So Tom and Cal and Trish, the whole gang here, they're getting ready to go on the air right after we wrap up here at 1 o'clock. And a lot of stuff going on at Ed's. First of all, really want to talk and remind you, Saturday, 8:30 to 11, pancake breakfast, $10 for pancake breakfast. The proceeds going to the Officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund. So thank you to Nick and Pete and the whole gang here with Ed's for stepping up and doing that. That is awesome. You can stop by. I mean, I was thinking about Saturday. If you're running kids from here to there, or you got a little time, 8:30 to 11, you can kind of, if you don't want to get up early, that's fine. They'll still be serving pancakes at 10:30 in the morning. If you do want to get started early, get by here and get your breakfast. I know it's weird to say, get your breakfast at Ed's Seafood Shed, but it's going to be a great pancakes and sausage, all the trimmings, and your drink, $10. And those proceeds going to the Officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund. Also, I want to remind you, like if you come for lunch today, I'm getting ready to have, as soon as I wrap up here with the show, their blackened catfish over greens and cheese grits. They also have their shrimp pile, fried shrimp over a pile of greens and grits, crawfish cream sauce on that. Holy cow. I could be buried in that. Also, they got their smother oyster, fried oysters covered in greens, y'all. This and then, okay, take the oyster, cover them with greens, and then cover them in crawfish cream sauce. That's right. They're getting very creative with the ways they're serving fantastic Gulf seafood here at Ed's right here on the Causeway. Come see us, and make sure if you get a chance, come see us for lunch today. But for sure, get out here and grab that pancake breakfast on Saturday and help out the Sean Tudor Memorial Fund. My buddy Del Leash from Lane App guest in here. We're talking about a couple things, but the story I want people to check out, and they can check it out on the website. Also, if somebody wants to pick up a copy of Lane App, how do they find said Lane App?
They're all over the place now. I'm pretty much... You'll run into one of our racks downtown if you're downtown, and then, you know, number of other places all over the city. And
plus, people can have it delivered.
Yeah, you can have it delivered now. I think it's $1 a week.
There you go.
To have it delivered to your house. You don't even have to get out of your PJs.
Right. You can come out in a like Tony Soprano in his robe and slippers and get your lanyard.
And if it's not $1, I apologize to Ashley and Rob. And I think it's $1 a week.
All right. Y'all check it out. And I know you can click through there on the website to see more on that. All right. Talking about your story here about If you're just joining us, this was a special counsel that can be called on. The city council heard enough complaints, they said, from Public Works that they said, okay, we're going to get somebody look into this.
Right.
Is that fair enough?
Right,
in layman's terms, what happened?
That's correct.
Okay, so this report comes back 19 pages.
Right, 19-page report on the various allegations of mistreatment, and it said that at least some, if not most, of those complaints seem to be valid, according to the special counsel and in that report.
Valid in their veracity, or valid in that it seems like that person was working at that time and those kind of, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Is it when he says it's valid, he thinks those things happened?
Yeah, he thinks that some of the complaints were true, absolutely.
So you have some stats here, too. You said, the decrease in the number of employees in the department over the past several years is further proof the administration was plotting to privatize service.
That is what some of the employees believe. Yes,
that it was that there was a purpose. It was on purpose to winnow down the number of people.
Yes, that was integral in part of the investigation. As far as
they're trying to run them off. I mean, what is the allegation?
Basically that the administration has some dark plan to privatize the department, or at least the trash service, and you know, and have a third party hauling contract come and
okay.
pick up all the trash, and to as further proof of that, there is a letter in the report that John Peavy wrote to Mayor Stimson, and it basically says, you know, we've got a third party hauling contract for some areas to help us, you know, pick up the trash that's been missed
right.
over all those weeks. We were 13 weeks behind,
right.
so we're going to get a third-party contract. But it also talked about having leverage and possibly doing privatization at some point in the future. Now, in fairness to Mr. Peavy, he told the special counsel that he's kind of come off of that it's not cost-effective to do that at this time. And the administration at one point during the height of all these complaints and these, you know, the sick-out and stuff had told me that all options were on the table. They are now saying that they're not looking at privatization at this time.
Okay, I mean, but I got to ask this question here. I don't know if you have an answer to it, Dale, but who Public Works works for whom? You know, we've gone through this. Who gets to fire and hire?
Oh.
You know, the city council or the mayor or the administration, would they have to pull some kind of Scooby-Doo-like plan to get rid of, or could they just fire?
Well, for
if
those,
they had a contract, could they go and say,
yeah.
all right, let's vote on this contract. Yes, we want to privatize. Hey, y'all are gone.
Those employees are merit employees,
okay.
so they are hired through the personnel board. I think that the mayor can transition them to other departments.
Okay.
If he outright gets rid of them, they get a hearing and all this stuff through the personnel board. So there is a safety net there for employees that are afraid of things like that. But in the report also is this idea that there's been retaliation against some of the employees that have spoken out or that have assisted some of the other employees in some
and
of this
kind
stuff of,
and it's kind of weird because I end up seeing things through a private sector lens. But
yeah.
I thought that when I saw members that I think I don't maybe I'm not accurate, but members that had called in sick that day.
Yeah.
And just a couple months ago, show up at the council meeting.
That's right.
With a string of allegations, even racism and all that against the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wait a second. They call in sick, and then they are on the record being here, not being sick. And, you know, that's subordination. That's, I mean, can you, maybe in the public sector, you can do that without repercussions, but I know you couldn't do that in the private sector.
Right. No, it would be odd to see that in the private sector. I mean, there are, you know, you
I mean,
hear
is
about
not,
other...
Is it okay for somebody in the public sector to go down and rip essentially management, right, which would be the city council or the mayor,
yeah.
And then not have retaliation?
I mean, if you've got that... I think if you've got that safety net, that's what that's in place for, so that you aren't victim of this sort of you know of retaliation of that nature, and so that you can go and speak out about your employer.
Is it like a whistleblower thing? Is it that? I mean, would that be the protection here, or would it just be?
I think it's just you have a right to a hearing. If you get fired for any reason, you have a right to a hearing through the personnel board. And so I think you know they look at that as public employees as having sort of a safety net. Now, the effectiveness of that when somebody can transfer somebody to as you see in the report. There are allegations that a couple of couple of employees were transferred to other departments to either kind of get them away from some of the other employees so that they, you know, couldn't help them or things like that. So.
Well, I mean, but once again, I know we're talking about public versus private, but you wouldn't get reassigned in private. You'd get reassigned to the unemployment line.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know what goes on here, but I do. In reading, you know, your take on the report, it seems like something is, I'll say this, something is going on because there's so many, unless it's some cabal that's all working together here, it seems like these stories are matching up and there's some documentation that people have not been happy.
It's a situation where if there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah,
for sure. Like there's definitely things are matching up, and that's part of the part. This was part of that investigation, was to find out if everybody's stories were kind of matching up, and if they could prove some of that stuff. And it looks like they have, to the extent that how bad this is. The report doesn't really go into it.
Okay.
He doesn't have any suggestions in the report on what to do to handle it.
You're reading my mind, because that's, I mean.
Now, in the city council meeting, in the committee meeting yesterday, he mentioned maybe some management classes for Mr. D's and for maybe for Mr. Peavy. He said that might help. And to its credit, the administration told me yesterday that they've already started that process. They're going to get management classes for some of these supervisors who maybe aren't handling people the way they should.
Okay, because that's always my next question. Because whenever we have an issue, then I'll ask, hey, what are they going to do about it?
Yeah.
What's next, right? You can't just say, oh, we got a problem. There it is. Put that on the shelf. If there's a problem, that seems to be right now what the agreed solution is. That the and nothing with the employees of Public Works, it's just management classes for the supervisors.
That is my understanding. But that's also not set in stone. That's just been a suggestion, and it's something that the administration says that they are doing or are planning to do, but nothing is set in stone. There's no law in place. There's no ordinance. It's just something that they say they're going to do.
Are they caught up with picking up trash in the city?
They are.
So that part is back to
at least as far as they've told me that they're
at the time
up.
Of print, when they were back to...
You're going to get some callers who say that they probably aren't.
Right.
But from what my understanding is that they are, yes.
And we will grab a couple of y'all's calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also hit us up on the text line, same number. And we are talking with, if just joining us, Dale Leash with Lanyap. We're live at Ed's Seafood Shed. And come out and grab lunch with us, too. You can ask the question directly to Dale when you show up here. Just walk up. You don't even have to get on the phone. You just walk up and ask him. All right. We're going to run to break in a second, but I want to, since we're talking about what's going on and what you're reporting on in Lanyap, this is number one. People go check this out, want them to read through it.
And there'll be a larger story on it in next week's edition.
Because you read the
I got the report.
I mean, he didn't just kind of skim it. You read the 19-page report.
I read it twice.
You know how
I am dedicated.
You know how to party. but on top of that, you were talking that weekend that passed, Senior Bowl, which, by the way, attendance really pretty darn good. First best attendance in years. We had nice weather.
31,000 people.
Nice weather. Seemed like a nice, perfect, not our normal 41 and raining.
Right.
Nice. People seemed happy. And then I hear rumor and scuttlebutt, with deference to the show that comes on after us, that I've heard this before. I dragged my feet a little bit because I've heard this before, that the Senior Bowl is leaving.
That was the rumor. The rumor mill was in full gear Saturday, and we heard it from several people that they had been told that this was the last. This could be the last year.
Several people like just coming out of a tent with a beer in their hand, or people that have a reason to have some idea.
I think it was some people that have a reason to have an idea, but also just
because the story, Dale, the story, we've had this before.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been on, we've been on watch here to the cutting edge that this, Senior Bowl's leaving it, and it was always going to go somewhere.
Well, we got to be anxious about something here in Mobile.
Well, so, I mean, when you hear this, though, you ask the questions. I mean, heck, what we just went through with Lad Peebles, right? Talking about, we got to have Lad Peebles, and the question is, would Lad Peebles then possibly lose the Senior Bowl to another venue in the city?
Right.
This is back to the talk of leaving
the city altogether. Now, and for what it's worth, I talked to a number of people who either said they hadn't heard that rumor or that it just was flat out not true. One of those people was Jim Nagy, the executive director. He told me point blank that the game would never leave Mobile. The Senior Bowl would never leave Mobile. But there's well, there's some nuance in that, too.
Right, well, he has something to say in it, but the big Megillah here is the NFL, right?
Yeah. The NFL could my understanding is the NFL could pick up and leave whenever it wanted.
All right, we're talking more about this when we come back, and I'd love for you to come out and have lunch with us. It's Dale Leish from Lanyap. We're hanging out at Ed's Seafood Shed, and we will be here till 2. Come say hi.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. And lots to talk about what's going on today at Ed Seafood Shed, but also coming up on Saturday as you can stop in for that pancake breakfast. 100% of the proceeds going to the memorial fund for slain Mobile police officer Sean Tudor. I want to talk also with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. You know, we were talking about last time you and I talked about some of the coins you do for branches of the military, things you can have engraved. I've got Scuttlebutt. Yeah, hey, Angelo, Scuttlebutt Network's coming on in just a second. Okay, I don't know why we don't have a good connection. Maybe Dalton, if you just push the plus button on that and see if he can hear me. Angelo, can you hear me now?
How's it going, dude?
It's going good, man. I was saying that last time we talked about some of the coins you have at the shop for the different branches of the military, and you could get those engraved. We have a bunch of folks that are Marine Corps folks out here around me right now, so tell them how to do that.
If they come down here to the shop, we have the Marine Corps silver rounds. The back of that is blank, so it can be engraved with any message you want, whether you want your dates of service, whether you want a special message to dad or mom or whoever it was that served. You know, come by the shop, and we can get that taken care of for you, generally within 24 hours.
All right, and also talk about V-Day coming up. And I don't mean, you know, I mean Valentine's Day.
Yeah, which is sort of a D-Day for you and I, Sean, because we tend to wait till the last minute. So if you don't want to wait till the last minute for V-Day, as Sean puts it, or Valentine's Day, as the rest of the world calls it, come by Mobile Bay Coins, check out all the different jewelry options we have. If you don't see something in the case that just absolutely speaks to you, talk to us. Ask questions. We have over 4,000 different pieces of jewelry in stock, and we can't display it all. So talk to us and see if we can hook you up.
All right, good stuff, Angelo. Give people address to come see you online and in the real world.
Yeah, online it's mobilebaycoins.com, or you can check us out on Facebook. And in the real world, it's 2204 Government Street, right in the heart of Midtown.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins, and we continue our conversation with Dale Leish from Lanyap. And also, I want to remind y'all, because I'm looking at it right now, Dale and I are having the catfish.
Yep.
You see it over there? We're going to have, as soon as we finish up here and go to news, we're going to have catfish. Listen to this. Here's what we're having. Blackened catfish over greens and cheese grits, you know, and then also they have their shrimp pile, which is fried shrimp piled over greens and grits with crawfish cream sauce on top. And they also have their smother oyster, fried oysters covered in greens and then covered in crawfish cream sauce.
So you don't need me anymore, right? I can go eat.
I don't know what y'all are waiting for. Come out and have lunch with us out at Ed's. And also, I really want y'all to, you know, if you can't make it Saturday and I've got some things going on Saturday, what I may do, you could do as well, just stop by Ed's and say, hey, I want to buy, you know, two pancake breakfast for prepay them for Saturday. That money goes to the Officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund, and just do that, and then you may show up, you may not, but you get the money to the family. So it's a great thing. A big thank you to Pete and Nick and the whole crew here. They're doing great stuff. All right, Dale, I saw this. Unnamed texter said, the NFL is barely involved in Senior Bowl. The attendees love Mobile. New stadium at USA will address most concerns. 32 teams each have their own relationships. So,
well, the coaches, my understanding is the coaches go wherever the NFL tells them to go, and there's some relationship there too. But
so it was saying the NFL is involved. It is by proxy of the coaches.
Well, that yes. And you know, you got cheerleaders from the teams too. But in doing the story, I talked to Ann Davis, who's the chairperson of Stadium Board. And she said that the NFL right now couldn't be happier with what happened on Saturday. So
is this just the same? I mean, we've been here before, man. You know, the same rumor mill that pops up every couple years or something. That, you know, maybe somebody who doesn't have enough hobby, doesn't have a hobby, decides, oh, I'm going to bring up the rumor about Senior Bowl leaving again. Or is it a way to test the community and what, you know?
I've heard from people that maybe it was just a bit of bluster to kind of get people motivated to get out on Saturday. But it was a beautiful day. I think they had over 30,000 30,000 folks.
And yeah, I think that's good turnout.
That's what they're shooting. They're not always shooting for a sellout. Sellout's nice, but if they can get 30,000 people in the stands, they're pretty happy from what I understand. So, you know, there may not be anything to this rumor. And like I said, in the story that I wrote, the sources I talked to said that there's not. So, you know, take it how you will, but... And it was out there.
It did in your research on this. Did any more of the discussion of maybe moving that Senior Bowl would try to move to a new stadium out at South Campus?
I know that some of the executives at the Senior Bowl have said in the past that they'd like to move to the USA because there's more room for tailgating and you can make it more of an event there rather than at LAD because there's not enough space for tailgating is what they claim now. Right. Now. The seating difference might be an issue from what I hear. Now that comes from Ann Davis as well, who has skin in the game. Obviously,
right,
she wants
the
game to stay at LAD, but she said, you know, if they can't get 30,000 people in there, why would they move to a stadium?
All right, you can read more over at landyapmobile.com. Pick up the new copy of Landyap this week. And Dale, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, and I'm going to go eat.
All right, yeah, we're going to do that. Dale and I are going to go eat. We'd love to see you come on out and be part of this. We are live at Ed's Seafood Shed. And coming on next, the Scuttlebutt Radio Network, and they take it from 1 to 2. Y'all have a great one.